Hey, good morning, y'all. I am also not Vern. I am Jeff, and I am also up for tacos if there's a Santa in the room. That'd be awesome. They didn't seem to fit with these pants, but we could make it work. Hey, it is really good to be with you all this morning. I want to give a couple shout-outs, first of all. To Ben, who's not here, who's also just getting a break this week. I don't know if you guys know, but he has worked tirelessly since this whole pandemic started to make sure that we could worship here and that you could participate with us, either in the room or at home over the live stream. And so just want to give a huge shout-out to Ben Fitzgerald for all the work that he did to make it possible for us to continue worshiping. Ben, I hope you're resting well and enjoying some well-deserved time off. Same thing for Vern. Vern hasn't had a break in a long time. He's preached every Sunday in a row for a long, long time. And so I'm thrilled that he gets to be hanging out with Gresh today and pray that that time is rich and a blessing to him as well. So thank you to Vern. Yeah. Absolutely. As I said, my name is Jeff. I'm the congregational care pastor here, and I'm usually in the sanctuaries on Sunday mornings, but I'm just super excited to be here with you all this morning and with you all online. And so welcome, and it is good to be here. I have to tell you, I was talking with my daughter, Emma. I have three kids. The oldest is Emma, and she's 9 years old. And I was talking with her yesterday about this and the fact that I was going to be preaching today. And I said, yeah, I'm preaching tomorrow. And she goes, don't you do that every week? And I said, no, not exactly. I said, this is the preaching is like when you give the sermon, you know? And she goes, oh, you mean the boring part? I was like, oh, okay. Thanks, Emma. Love you. Why don't you come do it next time? No, she's awesome. And so I'm going to do my best not to be boring this morning. But you can't be boring when you're reading from the Word of God. Amen? We have a word this morning of encouragement from the Apostle Paul from the book of Ephesians. And so we're going to dive into that. And it's going to show us ways in which we proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And I think that's just such an important message for us today and in this season of life to realize that with everything else going on around us, with all of the chaos, with all of the just difficulty, with the disunity, with the darkness, with it's getting darker longer in the day, right? There's more hours of darkness this time of year. With all of that stuff, we still proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Amen. And so we look today to Ephesians to find out more about how we can make Jesus Lord of our lives and the power that God makes available to us by proclaiming that and by living into that. And so really excited to read from Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 15. Hear this word from God this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have never stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and above every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. So I want to just go back to the very beginning. We're just going to walk through verse by verse here and talk a little bit more about this passage. We're in the midst of a very short series. It's a two-part series, right? About recognizing what it means to take one step closer. And so Paul offers us some suggestions about what it means to live as one who proclaims that Jesus is Lord. And I want to walk us through what that might look like for us today so that in every aspect of our lives, we can proclaim that, we can take one step closer, we can learn more about what it means to be people of faith, to be people of love, to be people of service. And so the very first part here, Paul says, for this reason, Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I've never stopped giving thanks for you. I've never stopped giving thanks for you in my prayers. You may remember this, recognize this from, if any of you have seen the movie about Mr. Rogers' life, the recent one that came out over the last year, Mr. Rogers gives a speech and offers everyone in the audience an opportunity to be thankful for someone that has meant something to them in their lives. And so as Paul starts this introduction, this prayer, this Thanksgiving prayer, he's basically doing the same thing. He says, I give God thanks to you, and I've never stopped giving God thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers. And so I want to give us, this Thanksgiving week, as we look forward to Thanksgiving on Thursday, I want to give you just 30 seconds to think and to remember and to give God thanks for someone in your life that has been impactful. Maybe a Sunday school teacher, a relative, a friend, somebody that you know from work, whatever it is, if there's someone that you can remember right now in your heart and be thankful for, I just want to give you a minute to hold that person in your heart and give God thanks for them. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So I love what Paul does here. It seems like he is always kind of raising the bar and challenging us to more of a life in Christ, more of a closer walk with Jesus. And that's what he does in this passage. He starts off by writing to the church in Ephesus, and there's some debate about whether it was Paul or somebody who followed Paul closely that wrote this letter. I don't think that really matters so much. I'm just going to use Paul because it says in the beginning that that's who wrote it. But he says to them, for this reason, and so you have to ask, well, what was the reason, right? What was he giving thanks for? Well, if you back up just a little bit, the verse right before says this, Paul says, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, with a promise of the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. And so what Paul is saying is, and he says it, he states it again, there's a couple of reasons to be hopeful in Christ in the midst of difficult circumstances. One is that we have an inheritance. We have an inheritance in Christ. And he talks about that in the verses just before the section that I read. He uses this phrase. He says, for in love, God predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in according to his pleasure and his will. And that phrase, adoption to sonship, in the original Greek that it was written in, it means that you would have, in the time that this was written, you would have all of the full rights and responsibilities and inheritance of an adopted firstborn son, which in that culture meant you get everything. You get the whole thing. And that's what Paul says we have as being adopted in Christ, as being brothers and sisters, children of God, co-heirs with Christ. We have an adoption. We have an inheritance. And this is something that we give God thanks for. And he goes on even before that, even after that section, talks about what that inheritance looks like. And it's more than just about what we get for ourselves. God's redemption, God's work in the world is cosmic. It encompasses the entire creation, the entire universe. This is also part of the inheritance that we live into as sons and daughters of Jesus. And so listen to this. He says, verse 7, in Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity, and here's the thing, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. To bring unity in all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And so what that means is God, from the very beginning, uses that word predestined. It means that Jesus wasn't a second plan. Jesus wasn't a plan B. Jesus was the plan from the very beginning. From the beginning of creation, from before time existed, Jesus was, right? And so what God is saying, or what Paul is saying here, is that from that time, ever since that time, God has been about the business of redemption, bringing all things into unity with God, making us, God's creation, in right relationship with God. And not just us, but everything. Everything that exists, everything that lives and moves and has being in God, Christ is in the process of making whole, making right, making redeemed with God. And that is part of the inheritance. That is part of the reason that we have hope this morning. When we proclaim that Jesus is Lord, it's proclaiming that big overarching story of salvation for the whole world, for every created thing, for everything that's wrong in the world. God in Christ is making it all new. That's what it means to say that we have hope in our inheritance as children of God. I think that is, I think it's important to remember that bigger story, right? Because we can look around and we can see so many ways in which the world is just off, right? There's so much darkness, there's so much chaos, there's so much sin, there's so much disunity, there's so much uncertainty, there's so much disease, there's so much difficulty and sadness. And so to remember that God, through Christ, is making all things new is a reason for hope. And we do that today on this particular Sunday. This Sunday in the church year is the Sunday. It's actually, if you follow like the church calendar that sets up like how the church works and how the church worships throughout the year, this is actually the last Sunday of the year. And so we're about to enter into the season of Advent, where that's a season where we get ready and get excited to prepare for celebrating Christ's birth. So before we get to that, we're at the very end of the story today, and it's called Christ the King Sunday. And about 100 years ago or so, 1925, Pope Pius was the head of the Catholic Church at the time, and he proclaimed this day, the last Sunday of the church year, Christ the King Sunday. And he did it because he had a sense that around him, people who were following Jesus were starting to be kind of misled into thinking that maybe other things were more important than God's kingdom. So for example, thinking about your country above God's kingdom, or thinking about secular just interests and values and morality, putting that above your relationship with God. And so the Pope said, hey, we're going to just remind people just for a second, like, who's actually in charge here, all right? And whose kingdom we actually subscribe to and pledge allegiance to. And it's God's kingdom. Amen? And so I think that's such a great reminder for today, because we're coming out of this elections. I mean, we're still in the election cycle, I guess, right? We don't have a new president yet. Half the country are really excited to have a new president. Half the country are really upset. Actually, I shouldn't say half. It's probably like a third of each, and then somewhere in the middle, there's everybody else. But I just think it's such an important reminder on this Christ the King Sunday to remember that, as Vern said a few weeks ago, our guy won 2,000 years ago. Amen? And so Jesus is Lord, and that's what we proclaim here, and that's what we live out, and that's who our primary and really only allegiance should be to, above anything else. I love this quote from T.S. Eliot in an essay he wrote called The Idea of a Christian Society. He says this, T.S. Eliot says, "To identify any particular form of government with Christianity is a dangerous error, for it confounds the permanent with the temporary." I love that. It confounds the permanent with the temporary, the absolute with the contingent. Those who consider that a discussion of the nature of Christian society should conclude by supporting a particular form of political organization should ask themselves whether they really believe our form of government to be more important than our Christianity. Should ask themselves, do we really believe that our government should be more important than our Christianity? Of course, the answer is no. And again, this is not to say that we don't need government. It's not to say we're not thankful for government. I am so grateful for our country that we live in a place where we get to elect our leaders. We get to have a democracy where we get some choice in the matter of who's going to lead us. But at the same time, it doesn't matter who sits in those seats in the grand cosmic scheme of things, right? In the history of the world, in the history of creation, in the history of the universe that God made, how long are we here? A few decades, right? Like, not much. Not much at all. How long is somebody sitting in office? A couple of years? 4 years? 6 years, maybe? If they get elected again, 8 or 12? Not much in the grand scheme of things. And so again, this is just a call to remember, hey, what does it mean to say that Jesus is Lord? It means that it doesn't matter so much what's happening around us. We know that God is on the throne. Amen? Amen. And that's where we place our hope, in the fact that Jesus is Lord. And there's verses that talk about that here that we read earlier, this hope and this power. Paul says, this is verse 19, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance and his holy people, which we talked about, that cosmic remaking of everything new and beautiful that Christ is doing. And he says in verse 19, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. His incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, every name that's invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And again, I just think that's such a great reminder for us today to talk about. But I think to talk about the hope that we have and the power that's available to us. But I think that's something that's a little bit confusing sometimes, right? When we talk about power that's available from God, what does that really mean? Paul says we have available to us the power that raised Christ from the dead. Is there anything that we can't do with that kind of power at our disposal, right? Is there anything that God can't do? No. And so we have this power, and I want to talk about it a little bit in this way. I have a son who's 3 years old. He's about to be four, and his name is James, and he loves tractors. And I had to work really hard to get his permission to bring this tractor with me today to worship. This is one of his favorite tractors. He plays with this thing all the time, like constantly. And so it was actually like a big deal. So I need to make sure that it gets back to him unharmed and in good condition. But he loves to play with this tractor. He takes it outside and he'll actually use the bucket. The bucket moves, which is pretty cool, right? And it goes up and down. He'll take it and he'll dig up dirt and he'll move it over to the other side and he'll dump it in his dump truck and he'll do all this other stuff. He loves to play with tractors. And so, but he's only 3 years old. And so as he grew and got a little bit bigger and we knew he loved tractors, his grandpa and grandma bought him an awesome, amazing present. They bought him this bigger, like full size to him tractor that he can ride and that has pedals. And so he can pedal it up and down the driveway all around the place. And it has a bucket and it has a lever and he can put dirt in it and he can move the lever and dump the dirt out. And it's just awesome. He loves being in it. But the place when he is actually most happy, like in the whole entire world, is when he gets to go to the farm and he gets to sit with his grandpa on a real, live, actual, like working tractor. And so this is James. This is James on the farm with his grandpa, Grandpa John, Farmer John. You can see in the background there's some Christmas trees growing. And so my wife's family are Christmas tree farmers, and so she's out of town for the next like 4 weeks while they wrap up their Christmas tree harvest. But James loves to go out to the farm, and he loves to sit on the tractor, and he loves to just be with his grandpa. Do we have the next slide? Here's another picture of just for kind of perspective for how big that tractor is compared to James, right? Like James has this little toy that he loves. He's got this toy tractor. He's got this other one that he sits in and pedals around. And then he's got the real thing. And he has access to that. And I wonder sometimes if we don't treat God like this tractor, right? Like a toy, like a trinket that we can just pull out of our pocket whenever we need to access God's power. Or whenever something goes wrong, that we can go, oh, yeah, that's right. Like, yeah, I got this thing. I can pray. and God can be with me and God can fix it. And yes, absolutely, God can do that and God does do that. But God invites us to so much more. God invites us to be a part of God's recreating and making all things new and beautiful, to be ambassadors. We talked last week about being ambassadors of reconciliation for the world. That is not a toy tractor kind of work, friends. That is not something that can be accomplished with a trinket, right? The God of the universe invites us to come and just be and sit next to him as he moves heaven and earth for you and I to participate in his salvation. And so I just want to encourage you today to know that that is the kind of power that God invites you to participate with. It's not a toy that might break, that might go away, that can be controlled, that can be figured out. No, it is an invitation to something vastly more powerful. The power to raise from the dead. That's what it means to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. It's to say, God, I know that, and we did this a couple weeks ago with our stewardship campaign, right? To say, God, I know that I don't know how I'm going to make this pledge for stewardship, but I know that you don't have a problem with money. And so you can figure out a way for my finances to work, because right now they're not. But I can trust that because you are Lord and because you are good, that I'm going to be okay. And I can sit with God in that and trust that and just proclaim that Jesus is Lord. And it's not about prosperity gospel. It's not about name it and claim it. It's about saying that I know that there is a power at work in the world that is greater than anything that I can muster on my own. It's greater than anything I can accomplish on my own. It's not some kind of toy power. There's a power that controls the entire cosmos and is making all things new and beautiful and restored and healthy and well and good. That's the power that we can tap into. It's that same power when we can proclaim Jesus is Lord in our work or in our school or with our friends or with our relationships that are broken. We can proclaim that Jesus is Lord, and it changes our attitude toward those situations, right? Knowing that we've got an invitation to sit with the power that raised Christ from the dead and is making all things new in order to bring healing in that broken relationship, in order to bring new life into that work possibility that you've been thinking about, in order to repair things where they have gone south. That's what it means to proclaim Jesus is Lord. It's that he is Lord over all creation, and he is Lord over every aspect of your life. And so I want to challenge you this week to just spend some time in prayer. Consider what kind of God it is that you're proclaiming when you say Jesus is Lord. Is it a tiny toy tractor that's at your whim and fancy that can only accomplish little things and move little pieces of dirt? Or is it the God of the universe that invites you to just come and take a seat and be an ambassador for reconciliation? Come and take a seat and watch God move heaven and earth to make all things new and well and beautiful. Spend some time in prayer this week and ask God, how do I take just one step in the direction of sitting with you, the Lord of all creation? May God bless you in that time as you pray. May God go with you now and always.